Linda, and I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since October 18th, 1995. Just to share a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was raised in a family. I'm the oldest out of three kids. My dad, I would call him a functioning alcoholic. He was raised in a home where his dad was a full-blown alcoholic, and he basically died of his disease. He died of cirrhosis of the liver. You know, I'm not around my dad today, so I don't know how much he drinks or, you know, how his life is today. But I do know that when I went to rehab the second time, and one of the things we had to do was do a family tree, and I kind of you know, learned that this is a family disease, and that, you know, for me, I feel like it was handed down. There's a lot of people on my dad's side of family that are, you know, alcoholics and addicts, and so, you know, I talk to my kids about that and tell them, you know, you just by the drink, you know, just know that, you know, it could be an issue. What it was like for me growing up in my household, it was, you know, my mom and dad were very toxic for each other. So I was an only child for almost 8 years, and I witnessed a lot of the, you know, just unnecessary nonsense. And then my sister came around when I was almost 8, and needless to say, my parents stayed together until I was almost 20, and then they decided to get divorced, and I have a brother that's like 12 years younger than me. Anyways, growing up, life was tough. My dad was in lots of other relationships with other people, and wasn't, you know, around a lot. So, you know, growing up, my mom, I saw a lot of, you know, a lot of victim in my mom, and I think I kind of took that and ran with that a little bit, and, you know, became a victim myself. And when I started doing drinking and other behaviors, it was to escape, because I didn't like my life, you know, at the time. And so, you know, I don't think I ever started drinking or using to really have fun. It was always to escape and, you know, get out of those feelings of, you know, feeling less than or, you know, just not liking my life. And so, you know, I chose a lot of things, did a lot of things that, you know, were not good for me. And I can remember being about probably 16 and having my first blackout and not knowing, you know, where I went, who I was with, and what happened. And it was kind of scary, but it didn't stop me from, you know, drinking or doing those things. I just didn't really put the two together. I ended up getting pregnant at 19 and having a baby at 20. And ended up doing my own thing for a little while, and then we ultimately ended up together and got married and had two more children. I tried to clean up myself a bunch of times and act like it wasn't that big of a deal, but really it was. I mean, I couldn't imagine my life without drugs and alcohol. I just couldn't function. I thought I couldn't function without it. I always thought my husband was better than, you know, I thought because he doesn't drink and, you know, do any of that, he's a normie. I always felt like, you know, his family had it all together, and I had to, you know, perform a certain way. I was a people pleaser. You know, I would do things because I wanted people to like me, and, you know, and it never was good enough. And so ultimately what happened was I was trying to clean up one last time, I guess my youngest was probably about a year, and then I had a 3-year-old, and I had a 9-year-old. And, you know, it was get up in the morning, get loaded, so I could, you know, do stuff around the house, you know, get my chores done, you know, function. And I would go in the bathroom, and, you know, I would just get loaded all day long. And I know this is an alcoholic meeting, but, you know, my drug of choice at that point was crystal meth. And what happened for me is I went to a place where I started smoking it, and then after that everything just escalated. And I, you know, what happened is I went to bed, and I don't know, I can't even really tell you how long I was in bed, but, you know, evidently my husband noticed, and he got his parents involved, and they kind of did an intervention on me and took me to the hospital, and I slept for, you know, more days. I don't even know how many days I slept in the hospital, but I was a mess. And that was when I was first introduced to this program. They gave me a big book and a 12-on-12, and, you know, someone came and talked to me. And then one day when my husband was visiting briefly, they were having a meeting, so I went to the meeting, and then they were talking about all the things, you know, that could, you know, possibly, you know, make you want to drink or use or whatever, and I just ran out of the room because I didn't want to look at it. My husband was getting aggravated because, you know, it was costly to stay at the hospital, and I don't think the insurance was going to pay for it, and so he said my only, you know, the only alternative was to go to this place in Phoenix. And so he gave me a phone number, and I was supposed to call this guy. So I did that, and at that time, I decided I was, you know, I was worried. I was worried that I was going to lose my kids, I was going to lose my life, and what I thought was my life. And so I thought, well, I better do this. So he went on the airplane with me, and we got out there, and met with a guy that I had talked to on the phone, and I was in a lot of denial. I just, you know, if you guys had my life, you would have drank and used too. You know, that was my attitude, and I just didn't get it. So, you know, my husband dropped me off, and he went on the airplane with me, and then he had to go back. And I treated him like shit that day when he dropped me off after he left. You know, right before he left, I just, you know, because I was scared and I didn't know what was going to happen, and I just lashed out. And something happened, though. I had a moment, I guess, a moment of clarity, and I, you know, I felt bad, and I was crying, and I was walking up to my room, and this counselor, they had different programs at this rehab, and this phase two counselor asked me what was the problem, you know. And so I told him what had happened, that, you know, my husband took me out here, and I treated him like shit, and I felt bad. And he thought, well, let's call him in a minute. And so I tried calling, but he wasn't home yet. And so I had talked to my sister-in-law and left him a message and told him that I was sorry. And so that kind of was a small turning point for me. And then I had to do, you had it where you had a group, you had your own group, and you had to, you know, qualify. And so I'm like telling everybody my story, and they had to give me feedback. And when they gave me feedback, I didn't like what I heard, because, you know, it was like, poor me, and, well, you know, and all this bad stuff happened to me, and you just don't understand. And they gave me feedback, and they just told me, you know, quit the bullshit and, you know, own up to your stuff. And, you know, I didn't want to, and I was, you know, I just didn't get it at that point. And so we had to go, I think I had kitchen duty that day, and so we're doing stuff in there, and I'm talking to one of the girls in there, and I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. I'm having an emotional, you know, breakdown, basically. And I couldn't stop crying, and I just was, you know, just filled with fear. And, you know, and I still didn't get it. I mean, and some stuff happened there when I was, you know, in there. You weren't allowed to talk to the guys and all that. And so some girls and guys were passing notes, and I knew about it. And and everybody was going to get sent home if someone didn't tell them what the hell was up. So I didn't want to get sent home. I was scared, you know. What was I going to do if I got sent home? So, you know, I basically had to, you know, tell them what I knew, and the whole house basically, you know, wouldn't talk to me for like almost a week, and a bunch of people got sent home, and, you know, I felt like such a snitch, and I, you know, I felt bad, but, you know, I did the right thing, and you know, I had to take care of me. It wasn't about whether they liked me or not. Who knows? I probably wasn't even going to see any of those people again, you know, and I had to take care of myself. So I finished the 30 days or however, and I think it ended up being like 45 days and went home and, you know, had to do all this by myself and, you know, find a group, get a sponsor and all this stuff. And one of the things I didn't do, they had this relapse prevention plan thing that I was supposed to do, and I didn't do it. And so when I got home, you know, it's in a whole different state, you know, and I have to meet new people and, you know, find the meeting that I feel comfortable at and stuff. And, you know, I started going to some meetings, and, you know, as time went by, I started feeling comfortable, started doing all the things that, you know, I probably shouldn't have. Looking back, I know I shouldn't have, you know, hanging around with old friends and old things, you know, like old playgrounds and shit like this they have not to do. And I thought, well, one time's not going to hurt, you know, and how your brain tells you that. And I got loaded, you know, and it's like, just like that saying, I always say it wrong, but one is too many and a thousand is never enough, or however you say it. That was it. I mean, I went on, I ran. I was clean for like 5.5 months and I ran. And it just was, and what they say too about, you know, wherever you left off there, you start up again or whatever. And that was true too, because it just escalated super fast. And so what happened was my husband said, oh, you're using again, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And you're out of control, so either you're going to get out of here or, you know, you're going to go back to rehab. And so I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go to meetings and do it on my own. But the reality was I was lying to myself. There's no way I probably could have done that. So I got a bunch of dope, and I got loaded, and I, the whole night before, and that day, right before, in the morning before I got on the airplane. And I got there, and I thought everybody was, you know, I went back to the same rehab, so I thought everybody was going to tell me, you know, what are you doing here, and you're a piece of shit, and, you know, you're never going to get it, and this and that. And they didn't do that. They, you know, welcomed me with open arms. They loved me until I could love myself, and I was just flabbergasted, because I guess I'm the type of person that I could always beat up on myself way worse than anybody can beat up on me. And so the next day, that was October 17th, the next day I was talking to my roommate, and I told her that I was loaded when I got there. She goes, you were? And I said, yeah. And it felt so good. It just felt like a big weight fell off of my shoulders, you know. And it freed me up to go talk to my counselor. And I was smart, because I had a man counselor the first time, and I really didn't like him. And so I asked for, when I went back, right before I went back, I asked for a woman counselor. And so they took care of that. And then, so I went and told her, hey, I was loaded when I got here, you know. And she said, well, you know, that's what it takes sometimes, you know? And I didn't expect her to say that. So it kind of took some of the guilt off, you know? And that was the turning point for me, because then I just knew that I wanted to leave every bit of baggage and garbage in that room, in that state, and go home free. And, you know, whether that meant my husband was, you know, going to be there waiting for me, or even if he was going to divorce me, it didn't, at that point, it didn't matter, because, you know, I was going to do it for me. I wasn't going to do it for, you know, what I thought my life was going to be, or for my husband or my kids or any of that. It was, you know, this was it, you know. And that's what I did. And And you know, and they told me that they saw a big change in my attitude, and I'm grateful that I got to go back. You know, a lot of people would be, you know, at first I was really embarrassed to have to go back and, you know, say, hey, I'm here again. But I'm grateful that I got the opportunity, because I got a lot of tools today that, you know, really helped me. And they didn't have that relapse prevention plan that time. So I asked for it, and I, you know, I did it. And it showed me what, you know, that you relapse in behavior before you pick up the drug or the drink, and, you know, how it all goes, you know, and everybody has their own way of how it goes. But, you know, I know what those signs are today, and I know when I'm in relapse mode what to do. You know, I know that I need to get on the phone and talk to somebody that I trust, and I need to, you know, go to more meetings and even stand up here and speak, you know, even though I don't really like doing this, but I'm doing it. So that's what happened. And since I've been home, well, the other thing that happened when I was there is they work with not only alcoholics and addicts, but the family members and Al-Anon also. So there was a gal that lived in my town when I lived down south, and her husband was the alcoholic, and she was Al-Anon, but she was, you know, really sick too. And we met each other in rehab and became really close. And I mean, we have a lot of same issues, and we still talk on the phone today and keep in touch. That was a blessing for me. That was really a God thing, because when I got back home and, you know, had to do life and stuff, when I was in a really bad place, I could call her up and say, hey, you know, like one time I did, I called her like a week after she had gotten back, and I said, I'm really in a bad place and I want to use. And she said, let's go to a meeting. There's a meeting, you know, such and such, and they have your meeting, and they have Al-Anon at the same time. And so we did that, and then we went for coffee afterwards and, you know, just talked. And, you know, that just showed me that I could, you know, I could do it, you know. I wasn't alone. And, you know, and gave me a chance to meet some more people in the program and find a group that I felt really comfortable at with, you know, women that had it together. And, you know, that taught me a lot of stuff and meetings and stuff. I also, you know, got involved in some service work before, and I think that's really good for people to do. What's it like today? Today is good. You know, life still happens. I mean, you still have things that come up that are hard to deal with, but I don't feel like I want to run and drink and use today. You know, I hang around with people that have good sobriety, I think, and I surround myself with, like, what they told me when I first got here. I surround myself with winners, and, you know, I just put one foot in front of the other and try to focus on what's in front of me, and, you know, I have a lot of things that happened this summer. Like, my son got married, my oldest son got married this year, and I just look at some of these things and I think, man, if I had never gotten sober, I don't think I would, you know, be able to participate. I wouldn't have been able to participate in his wedding. Who knows if I would even be here still. But I have a lot to be grateful for. I don't know.
I don't know what else to talk about. Do you want me to answer questions?
Does anybody have any questions? I don't know, I always had a higher power. You know, I just, there was a point where, like I said, when I got honest with myself, that things changed for me as far as, but I didn't always feel worthy of my higher power, I guess. And the obsession lifting, I don't, probably after I hit about 5.5 months, I think, because I was really scared I was going to relapse again, and I was telling my sponsor how I was feeling a lot, you know, and she just, you know, said those two will pass, and you're right where you're supposed to be, and I know a lot of people think that's crazy, but when she would tell me that, I was still relieved, you know, when she would say, you're right where you're supposed to be, I was still relieved, because I'm like, I am? Oh, okay, you know. But once I hit that hump, and I knew I was going to be okay after I, you know, hit that hump and got past it, I don't know, I just felt like I could do it. I don't know. Old behaviors. I still do old behaviors sometimes, you know. The difference today is like I said, I know what to do. I don't. Once I realize that I'm in those old behaviors, then I can do something about it, you know. I don't know. Go ahead. A couple. Go ahead.
For an alcoholic, did you feel like you've gone on the hill or on the hump?
Yeah.
On your way down?
Oh, on my way down now?
On your way down.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like I want to drink or use today. Go ahead. Yeah, I did. How often was I working on the steps? Well, I was working on my steps until right until I got ready to move up here. And let's see, I was sober for, I'm trying to remember. I think I was sober for 10 months and then we moved up here. So then I had to kind of start over again. But my sponsor took me to central office down there and, you know, got me lined up with somebody over here so that I could find some meetings up here. And then I wouldn't say that I was real faithful about working on my steps, you know, like boom, boom, boom. But I think in the last year I've been more working on them more lately, you know. So. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You came from Southern California?
Yeah.
And moved up to the
gym. Yeah. The Big Valley. Go ahead. When I did my course step, well, I've done some other course steps recently, but when I did my first course step, I was disappointed. I expect, because you hear all these stories, and I expected to have this big awakening or something, and it didn't happen that way for me. It just, I don't know, it just was different, you know. I'm not sure how I felt about it exactly. I just know it wasn't what I expected. But since I've done some recently, it's been more fulfilling, put it that way. Maybe I was just more ready now. I don't know. I wouldn't say that I did it perfectly, so don't wait a bunch of years and then do stuff. You know, if you can do your stuff. You know, and then, too, you know, more will be revealed. I think when you're ready to do certain things, then, you know, God will show you the way, too. So, I don't know. Anyway. One more? Go ahead.
And going back out for that.
Yeah.
Did you find, did you see the same satisfaction as you did before, or was it horrible?
It messed it up. Because I went to some meetings, loaded, you know, because I had to be where I said I was going to be, telling my husband where I was going. So I did that, and oh God, I thought I was going to die. I thought everybody in the room knew I was loaded, and it just was terrible. I think I did that a couple times, and then I was done with that. So no, it just, it changed everything, definitely. So probably a good thing.
Okay. We've got a little bit of time left. If there's anybody that would like to volunteer to maybe spend 5 to 7 minutes. I had my eye on Jimmy back there. Jimmy, you got about 5 minutes in you? Come on up, man.
My name is Jimmy and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm very grateful to be here today. And thank you, Linda. Thank you very much. You sparked a lot of memories. I got here early on in the 80s, and I started out as a teenager. And I'll tell you what, I came here, I went through an outpatient program, and I didn't go through it. I just went to it and didn't do it. Didn't do what they told me to do because they had it all wrong, you know. I was unique, you know. And anyway, I went back. I left the program early, and I didn't go to meetings or anything because you guys were just a bunch of sick people, and I didn't want to sit in a room with a bunch of sick people, you know. You know, okay, where do we move from here, you know? So to make a long story short, I spent about 13 years white knuckling it out there, and you know, when I came back, I remember when that first beer hit my body, man, it was like I could hear that music, that wah, you know, like in the movies, and I had arrived, you know. But then guess what else arrived? All the other having to wait until it wasn't so busy on the road to drive home from work, you know, and looking over my shoulder. And I've heard this time around that your disease is out in the parking lot doing push-ups while you're in here getting right. Well, that's true, because she said that it picks up where you left off if you're a herder. And I'll tell you what, that couldn't be more true, man, because it didn't take long at all for me to get back all the misery and all the self-destruction. I think it took about a week, you know. You know, I was drinking beer, you know, and it led to bigger and better things. It's always bigger and better things, you know. At least they look bigger and better from where we're sitting until we get here. But you know what? Looking back, you know, the book says that we will not regret the past, nor will we wish to shut the door on it. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but for me, I had to go through that to be who I am today and be where I'm at today. I couldn't be here unless I went through all them horrible things and burned all them people. And I wouldn't be able to experience making the amends unless I had gone through all the stuff that I did to other people and made them, you know, hate me for a while, you know. And incidentally, if you're sitting here and you're new, guess what? You know, you probably hate yourself more than anybody out there hates you. That's a fact, because I learned something else when I did my fifth and sixth and seventh step and wrote all that stuff down and everything. And then when I went on to 8 and 9 and I got to 9, I found out that I wasn't just running my resentment program. I was running everybody else's too, because I had good reasons not to go around certain people because I knew they hated me. I knew they didn't like me because of all the little things I did. And there was nothing more that burned me up than when I went to somebody to make amends and he didn't even remember what I did to him, you know. But that's real, man. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we're out here running everyone else's program but ours, you know, because we got to have control. But, you know, you know, I made a mistake, too. I went through Pine Recovery, and on my first pass, I met with my mother-in-law who hated my guts, and I was trying to make amends to her, and she was talking to me. As I'm telling her this, she's telling me about CPS and how I don't have running water at my house and how she might have to go tell them that I don't have running water at my house and all this other stuff and they might have to come take my kids. And I'm thinking, you stupid B word, didn't you see I'm making amends? Didn't you know I've been in time for 30 days? Can't you look at me, you know? Well, let me tell you something. That's when I learned that it is attraction. It's not promotion. You don't have to tell anybody what you're doing. You, if you're here for the right reasons, if you're here because you want to be here, and if you're here because you're sick and tired of being who we were out there when we were putting chemicals in our body, well, guess what, man? When you start getting right, people are going to be attracted to you, man. And I'm not just talking from the hip. I'm telling you, this is real. It's happened to me. I made amends in relationships that I never dreamed possible. And I don't know where he's at. Somebody here used to talk about, heard him talk about being rocketed in that fourth dimension, and I thought, man, that guy's out of his mind. What's he talking about? What is that fourth dimension? What is that? Well, I'll tell you what that is. You dream, you sit there tonight and think about what you want in 5 years, and I'll guarantee it, if you do this right, it'll go beyond your wildest dreams. And that's the truth, because I've gotten more today than I had 5 years ago, and they made us make a list of, you know, where we wanted to be and what we wanted 5 years from now when we were at Pine, you know. And I dug it out the other day, you know. And somehow today, quads and a toy hauler and cars and crap, it doesn't mean much anymore. It's not what I wanted, you know. That's how small and narrow my dreams were back in those days, you know. It doesn't say anything about being employable or being a good friend or wanting to intuitively know how to handle situations that will baffle you. You know what that means? I'll tell you what that means. That means that when you're sitting here right now doing all these steps and doing this program and getting your life, get a life. Because I don't know about you, but after I was here a while, I figured out I didn't want my old life back. Because it sucked. But you know what? You're going to intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle you. The book tells you this. And what does that mean? Well, that means that when your kids or your family members, when they're going through the same thing you went through and they're just about ready to jump off that cliff, you're the only one that will know how to handle that. You're the only one that knows how to talk them down. And you'll be able to relate to them because you were there. But you went through it, man, and you came out the other side and you're here living to tell about it. You know? That's big stuff, man. I'm not going to say my kids are never going to drink or use drugs. I'm not going to say that because I'll never say never. I learned that in this program, too. But I will tell you this. I hope that I'm a good enough parent and a good enough friend that they will come to me if they ever have a question about it, because I don't keep it from them. Because my experience is life. It's not just that dirty thing we kept in the closet. Man, I ripped the closet door off because that's what kept me sick, is the secrets. Anyway, I don't know what else to say, so thank you.